thank you for coming out on Christmas Eve. And we've been talking all about coming home, like what home looks like. And maybe you've experienced some good news. You guys ever get good news before? Like, I'm talking like really good news. Like, maybe the good news was you got the job. Maybe you got the phone call that you had. You went to the doctor, you're really scared, and they called and you said, hey, it's not cancer. Right? Or maybe you got the news of, I was just at small group. I was just at small group on Thursday, and some of my friends came out and said, we're having a baby. And you hear that news, right? It gets you all jacked up. It gets you pumped up inside. Or maybe you got like great news that said, no, I'm full. You can have the last piece of pie. And you like start fist pumping, right? Like when you hear good news, you have some sort of reaction and make something feel even more alive. And depending on where you are, when you hear good news can dictate your response. So like you're at work, you know, like a normal work day and you're, you know, filling out those reports and, you know, your friend walks up to you and says, Jeremy Rupp, did you hear that there's like Gilmore Girls? They're coming back. There's a whole new season. And Jeremy's at his work. He's like, oh, that sounds really cool. I'm happy for people that own TVs, but, you know, I don't own a TV, so, you know, it's okay. That's great, all right? And they're like, oh, man. So, and then their friends come up to Jeremy later on, and they're like, Jeremy, we know you don't own a TV, but you watch, like, 6 hours on your computer every night TV, all right? It's kind of the same thing. And they're like, and Gilmore Girls, we know you love Gilmore Girls. And Jeremy's like, yeah, you know, it's going to be an okay thing. I'm really, you know, really busy making my wax dolls. And I'm just, you know, that's way more important right now, wax dolls. But if Jeremy gets home and he heard for the first time in his home that Gilmore Girls were coming back for a brand new season, you know, he'd get up and high-five his Gilmore Girl poster. He's like, yeah, pff, right? Might rip his Gilmore t-shirt, and he's jumping up and down singing the Gilmore song. I don't know if there is a Gilmore song, right? And when you're at home, you can be like the real you. You can be like the true self. You can, like, all those games you might play out at work, around your friends, you can just, like, really be yourself. This is why maybe at home, you guys do this at home? Like, you just, like, things you do at home you probably wouldn't do outside. Like, you have your comfy pants, right? Yeah, maybe some of you wear those outside as well. So, just, there's something alive about being home. And when you hear good news at home, it hits something special. Maybe home for you is your actual home. Maybe it's where you grew up. Maybe it's at J. Cook State Park. Maybe it's in your car. Wherever it just feels like you can be a life-giving place. And really what we're going to look at tonight is, or this afternoon, is we're going to be looking at this song that Mary sang. When Mary heard good news. There's one guy, N.T. Wright, this author, he said that it was really the gospel before the gospel. And Mary hears good news, and it hits something alive in her. The same way when you heard good news about, like, she said, yes, she'll marry me. Or we're having a baby. Or I got the job. Or, you know, we're going to take care of all that debt. Even like the best Christmas ever, when they saw us walk in and they couldn't contain it. Because when you hear something beautiful, when you see something beautiful, it changes you. And when you hear good news, you see something beautiful, it comes out of you. And what we're going to be looking at is, like, maybe around Christmas time, it's not maybe, actually around Christmas time, like, we have something we've been talking about called the Christmas song. Around Christmas, things just feel right. Things feel good. Me and my sister, Tina, we were just talking yesterday, like, why do people want to give so much? Why are we so generous around Christmas and not, like, in the middle of March, right? It's just easy for us to give because there's something about Christmas that feels right. And the song of Christmas is the song of heaven, that there is a beautiful God, a good and beautiful God, who came to us and invited us to experience home, a real home, a place where we can be fully ourselves, a place where we can experience beauty, where we can experience rest, and where we can really experience joy. And when Mary sings, she's singing about joy. We're going to be reading out of Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 46 through 55, and I threw up on the screen so you can follow along. And this song is probably the most famous Christian song, all right, of all time. Because what Mary speaks of, what she's speaking, what she's singing of, is something incredibly beautiful. She's singing of home. So starting in verse 46, and Mary said, My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down the rulers from the thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he's promised our ancestors. So Mary is singing of something beautiful, of something even more beautiful that's to come. She just gets news that she is pregnant, and there's this joy that comes out of her. It's a joy that actually soars. But why is Mary like so joyful? What is it about what's happening that like causes her joy? Because she starts off by saying that like God looked down on me, God noticed me, God saw me, and the humble state of his servant. See, who was Mary? Why is this humble state something to be celebrated? Because Mary was a single, young teenager woman who's pregnant, who's not really married yet. And she's saying it's something like for generations will be celebrated for her. She's poor. You know, really the beautiful people you'd think of would be like royalty at this time. People who had like power, who had influence, who were part of this family line that was celebrated and even feared. They had ultimate power. And here's just this Jill bag of donuts, this poor, you know, little girl who is now pregnant. And she said it's something to be celebrated. Because in this culture, at this time, you know, being pregnant without like being married was not something that was to be celebrated. In fact, like she was already on the outer class of society. This would have brought her and her kids even more shame. And she probably is aware of this. She's probably heard her friends talk about another girl that this happened to. And she's going to walk around, and she can probably even project of what people are going to say about her son someday, and they're saying, oh, here's Jesus. Yeah, he's part of, you know, Mary. And what's Mary supposed to do? Walk around and say, oh, don't worry, it was the Holy Spirit that got me pregnant. Like, yeah, Mary, right. One of those, yeah. So she's self-aware enough to know of her reputation that's to come. She knows of the shame. She knows of what's already against her, the obstacles in front of her, but she says what? I'm to be celebrated for generations and generations. You see, there is a joy that allows her to soar because she gets a glimpse. She gets just like a small window of what heaven looks like. Because she's saying, even though I can experience all this pain, I'm going to experience all these hard things, there's a joy that goes deeper than my pain. There's a joy that goes even deeper than my loneliness. It goes deeper than my stress, deeper than my anxiety, deeper than my financial problems, deeper than the wounds that people might say about me. Where she can look at the world, she can look at reality and say, that pain does not define who I am. Why? Because there is a joy that allows me to soar. See, one of the miracles of Christmas, isn't just that there was like a cute little baby, like in a manger, and that's a nice little story. Right? The miracle is that there is a good God who came to us. There's a God who came and said, I'm home. Are you ready to experience a home like none other? Are you ready to experience heaven? See, the next part that she says is she talks about how there's like the humble, the poor are going to be brought up, and the mighty and the rulers will be brought down, and the hungry, that they will have good things. I love that. There's good things for them to fill their stomachs. What she's singing here is that all the ways we've defined beauty, all the ways we've defined success, all the ways we define who's in and who out, when Jesus comes, it all changes. Because now the beautiful people, you guys know the beautiful people? We all have beautiful people in our life. Even if you, like, you know, I'm the beautiful people. Even in the beautiful people, there's more beautiful people, right? Who they have, like, they're the perfect parents, right? They never yell at their kids. They just say, uh-oh. And their kids are like, yes, whatever you want, Dad, right? The beautiful people who always can drive nicer cars than you. The beautiful people have the better job. The beautiful people have just nicer things. They always, on Facebook and Instagram, it just always looks like it's just, they're just killing it. While you're reheating your coffee for the fourth time in the morning, right? Right? Am I right? What she's saying is the way that we define who the beautiful people are, they're saying it's never going to be about how good we are. See, Jesus levels the playing field. She's singing a song saying it's all about how good God is now. And we get in on this beautiful life. We get in on this great life because of who Jesus is instead of who I am. And she can experience, she's singing of what's to come. Because she doesn't say, hey, and the poor, when they die, they get to experience heaven. The hungry, when they just go into this magical heaven far away, then they get on the best of God. They're saying, no, you get to experience heaven now. That the Christmas song is a song of heaven. It's a song of a good God that came to us. It's a good God who says, I have so many beautiful things for you. In fact, it says that he'll fill their stomach not just with enough. I'm going to give you enough. I'm going to fill their stomachs with, I'm going to give you just barely enough so that you can just be okay. So they filled it with good things. John 10:10, Jesus says, I have come to give you life, a life that flourishes, a life that thrives, a life that launches you into a good and beautiful life. When Mary gets wind of this, she can't help but sing of joy. So here's my invitation this Christmas. You can sing this song. You can sing a song filled of joy. Because what Mary does is she just sees beautiful things. She gets a vision. She becomes aware there's something so much better, a whole different reality than the reality that she lived in right now. All the power is changing. And she put words to something that is beautiful. So this Christmas, you can sing the song of Christmas. And it might be like my family, all right, they're all up to the right here. You can all look at them, right? We're going to all hold hands and sing songs, and Eric's going to lead us in a song, right? You can do that like our family is. But you can participate in a Christmas song differently. It might be seeing beautiful things around your table. It might be when your kids, it might be your mom or dad, it might be your brother-in-law, it might be a friend. And the way you can participate in that Christmas song, the way you can speak of joy is by putting words behind something that is beautiful. It might be saying, I really appreciate you. It might be, you look beautiful tonight. It might be, I love you. It might be, thank you. It might be everyone's favorite, I'll do the dishes, right? But really, when you see beauty, what you're experiencing, any beautiful moment, if it's in the song the kids are singing, if it's in the taste of the ham, if it's in the kids' joy of opening a present, if it's the beauty of the snow that's to come, right? When you experience beauty, you are experiencing heaven. When you look at each other, you can experience beauty, you can experience heaven. And all Mary does, she puts words behind it. See, words matter. Words can speak of a reality. Words have weight. So my encouragement to you, around that table, around that living room, around that fire, wherever you might be, put words behind the beauty. Let there be joy. And if you're here today, and the whole idea of experiencing a joy that soars just feels a little distant to you, it's like one thing that we say a lot here is good and beautiful, that there's a good and beautiful God who wants good and beautiful things for us. And you're hearing, you're like, yeah, I'm not experiencing a whole lot of joy this Christmas. Maybe you lost a loved one. And maybe every Christmas just dials up that pain. Maybe you're dealing with financial stress. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe you're hurting. Whatever it might be, like the way you get in on this joy, the way you can experience this kind of joy is simply this. It's to see God for who he is. It's where you start. See, the way we think about God, the way we see God really matters. And we can start by just saying, God, I believe, I trust that you really are good. If you are good, see, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. We have a good God that loves us, who notices us, and then he gives us good things. He doesn't give us good things, he gives us the best thing, himself. So where it starts is just saying, God, you are good. And the next thing is just receive. Experience it. Take it in for yourself. The way that I imagine, the way I picture it, is that there's this divine flow. There is this reality. There is this experience. There is this opportunity where we can actually step in to God's goodness. We can step in and experience his beauty. And you can do that through many different ways. You can do it as we sing a couple more songs. You can do that. I'm going to pray for us a little bit. And then we're going to be taking communion together, like as a community, as a family, a way that we can, like with our hands, with our senses, we can taste and see the goodness of God. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray over us first. And if you'd like to experience that kind of joy, you'd like to experience that kind of beauty, the same way that Mary like saw the kingdom, she saw heaven and sang, I'm going to pray that just even now, that we might be able to experience heaven. And maybe just for like a moment, we can experience joy. So as I pray, I encourage you just like, you know, however you experience God, however you experience something good, for me, I close my eyes. It's a way just to put all my, it's not a magic trick. Like if you're newer to Christianity, it's not like a magic trick. Close your eyes. Oh, God shows up. It's just a way that we can just focus and dial in that we want to receive from God. So join me as we pray. So God, we love you. And I thank you that you are so incredibly good. Thank you that you noticed us and you invite us to be a part of your home. Because in your home, we can be our real selves. And in your home, you're not some angry father. You're not some disappointed father. You are a father that is crazy about us and that you love us. So I ask God that even now we can experience a joy that allows us to soar. And we can let like who you are and how you define beauty, how you define value, how you define success. God, will we experience that just for like even a moment? And give us what we need for like around the table this afternoon as we go throughout like this week on New Year's Eve and throughout the rest of the year, God, that we can speak to things that are beautiful. We can put words to things that bring joy. We love you, God. Amen. So what I'd like to do is I'm going to invite you to stand up and we're going to take communion together. If you're as a family, you can like, if you got room, you can even step out into the aisle if you want. You can come up to the front or you can stay where you are. And if you want to like just be or just like touch each other, like rub up against each other, however it is, we're going to do this together. And how it works, right? This handy dandy invention where there's two layers. The first layer is going to give us the bread or the cracker. The next one is, this is juice, not wine, right? Like you're welcome or I'm sorry, however it depends on that, right? So what we're going to do is we're going to take the bread first. We're going to take the bread. And the night before Jesus gave his life, he had communion with his friends. In a way like his family, his community. Just like us. And he held up some bread. And he looked at his friends. And he said, eat this in remembrance of me. And what he's inviting us, he's saying, hey, when you eat this bread, when you take communion, I want you to remember me. I want you to celebrate me. I want you to see all the beautiful things that through my body I gave just for you. Like on Christmas, we can celebrate, we can have joy because of God came to this earth and he gave his life, he gave his body so that we can have a joy that soars. Let's take the bread. God, thank you for giving your body for us. And I pray that even as we eat it, the same way bread brings life to us, it nourishes us, I pray, God, that you will satisfy all our needs, all our wants. And let's take the juice, peel it back. Kids, be very careful with your Christmas dresses. And Jesus, after eating the bread, said, drink of this. Take me in. He's saying, like in the same way that the juice or the wine, this juice right here, we drink juice because it replenishes us. It gives us life. It goes into our very being. Jesus is saying, hey, take the bread and then drink of me. Take me in and let me satisfy, nourish, quench every single thing in your life. You don't have to worry. Jesus says, take heart. I have overcome the world. Let's drink together as a way of Jesus bringing life. Jesus, thank you that you fill the stomachs of those who are in need. You fill the stomach for those who are poor in any single way, and you give us good things. Today we celebrate you, the gift of coming home, of inviting us to be in your home. We love you, God. Amen. So we're going to sing we're going to sing one more song, and then when we're done, you can go out in the lobby, and if you're new, we'd love to give you those free gifts. And have a great Christmas Eve. Thank you for coming to Cloquet Vineyard.